is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Indeed, we will. This is the day which the Lord has made. Today we're talking about living in the fullness, part two. Last week was part one. And we're talking about living in God's fullness, and what does He desire for us, and how do we live in that fullness? If you would, turn in your Bibles to James chapter 2. And we'll get there in just a minute, but we're not starting there just yet. But that's where we'll start. And God's desire for us and for our church, I believe, is for us to live in the fullness, live in His fullness. Many of us live in our own fullness, whether it's greed or gluttony or whatever, self-centeredness, pride. And we're living in our fullness. But what I'm talking about here is living in the fullness. I'm talking about living in God's fullness. What does He desire for us? And we talked a few weeks ago, or several weeks ago, about the Alpha and Omega and living life between those. The beginning when we accept Christ, and then the end when we die. But what are we doing in between that time? And God desires for us to live in the fullness from that beginning to the end of knowing Him. Believing is the beginning, right? But that's not enough. That is not enough. James chapter 2, verse 19 says, "You believe that there is one God." It says, "You do well." But He says, "Even the demons believe and tremble." So that tells me that's not good enough. If we're compared with demons, just because we believe, as Christians, we have just a little bit more work to do. Amen? We have a little bit more work to do than just believing. And some of us get on there and say, "Well, I've done that part. I know I'm secure." And it's not. Even the demons believe. So we're comparing ourselves with them, saying, "I guess this is all the same. It's good enough for them." Belief is just the beginning. Last week we talked about the true effect of Christianity. And the true effect of Christianity is love and joy. And there's other fruits that we'll talk about. But love and joy, our belief leads us to that point. Or should lead us to experiencing that transformation and that transition. And to understand that all transition, think about different places you've been in your life. From job changes to marital changes, getting married, getting divorced, death, all these different things. Transitional points in your life. And think about those for just a minute. Transition. Transition starts, listen carefully, transition starts with an ending and ends with a beginning. Okay, all transition starts with an ending of something. Maybe the ending of a job. It starts with an ending of something and then ends with a beginning. You have the time in between that you're not sure what to do, and then it ends with a new beginning, a new job, a new opportunity. Remember, we talked about obligation versus opportunity. You may have a new obligation to show up at a new job, but if you look at that as an opportunity, it becomes so much more rewarding when you go to it and when you pour yourself into that job rather than the obligation. It's an opportunity to say, "How can I affect this place?" Last week, as we ended the message, we talked about James, and we're in James right now, but we talked about James chapter 1, verse 21. And it says, "Don't just be hearers of the word." And it tells us to be doers of the word. But do you remember why it said, "Don't just be hearers of the word"? It says, we'll deceive ourselves if we don't go out there and do what we have read, what God tells us to do. And there's many times in here, in His Word, God says, "This I command you. Do as I have done for you and to you. As my Father has done to me and for me." And He says, "I've done this as an example. Do not just be a hearer of the Word." It's not enough to come. It's not enough to believe. It's not enough just to show up and think we've done our duty, our obligation. We have an opportunity to grow and an opportunity to impact others around the world. The slide we just watched said, One church, what can they do? But church is a universal. We can have a huge impact participating in this program. Philip likes talking about a young lady whose life was transformed by getting one of these boxes. And what was inside that box? A pair of shoes. And it transformed and changed her life forever. Could you imagine where that one box came from? What if it was prayer of faith? We'll never know we transform someone's life, but we do this believing that we will change someone's life and impact their life. And our faith is the same way. We have to go at it and say, we have the opportunity to transform and change someone's life forever. Forever. You may not be the one leading them to Christ in the sinner's prayer or whatever, but you may be the one impacting them to go to church, to turn to God where someone else has the opportunity, and you are just as impactful as that person that led them to Christ, in my opinion, because you have turned on the light to them. You've given them the light to have a changed life and to transform their lives forever. James chapter 2, verse 14. Let's read that. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? We have that opportunity as we look at not just being hearers of the word, but being doers of the word. Hearers of the word says, I believe. But God said, that's not enough. Even the demons believe. And right here it says, what does it profit if someone says he has faith? I have faith, I believe. A big deal. What are you doing with it? How are you transforming lives? How are you helping other people? How are you allowing Christ to use you to be His hands and feet? What does it profit if you have faith, but you do not have any works? And for some of you, it may be work showing up to church. This is universal, not just prayer, faith, but here. That's not the works he's talking about, getting out of bed and coming in. Can faith save him? So how, as we talk about this, how do we live in the fullness? Okay, you've said, I can't believe, that's not enough. I mean, I can, but that's not enough to do it. Can't live in the fullness with that. This poor thing just keeps falling apart on me. My Lord. But still important and vital. How do we live in the fullness? Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 15. And James, I wanted us to read that to talk about faith versus works, talk about being a hearer of the word and a doer of the word. They connect. But John chapter 15, we'll spend most of our time today in this section. And it says in verse 1, talking about the true vine, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. First and foremost, we have to acknowledge that. If we don't acknowledge that much, we're in trouble right out of the gate. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And I'm going to read through verse 8. I am the vine, you are the branches, and he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciple, or disciples. How do we live in the fullness? Living in God's fullness. Verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So the first thing is that verse 1 where it said, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. We have to acknowledge that. We are connected to the vine. And we don't get to prune ourselves. We are not the vine dresser. But God is the vine dresser. And he does with us as he sees fit based on what we're doing connected to the vine. Or have we disconnected from the vine? Verse 2, we are to bear fruit. This is a process, church, and it will take some time for some of us. Don't look at the other person and say, my gosh, look at the fruit they are bearing. I can't keep up with that. I don't have the skills or the time or the money or the whatever to bear that same kind of fruit. The first thing we have to do is stop comparing ourselves to other people. And using that is our gauge. He doesn't want you comparing yourself to anybody else. But what he wants you to do is be the best worn you can be. Don't you compare yourself to anybody. He wants you to be the best you can be. Don't compare yourself to anybody. Be the best you can be. Because there's only one Adonijah. There's only one Brian. There's only one Warren. Now, as you guys know, or most of you know, I have a twin brother. There's not two Adams. There's still only one Adam. There's another crazy guy that looks like me, but he's not Adam. But sometimes I compare myself to him, thinking I could never do the job he does. Then I think I don't want to do the job that he does. We are to bear fruit. And God has given each one of us our own fruit to bear. It's going to be different for this group than that group than that group. But we are all connected to the vine. Guys, if we don't bear fruit, what does it say he's going to do to us? He takes away. To live in his fullness, we have to be connected and we have to bear fruit. He prunes us. Church, sometimes we don't understand that pruning that he does to us. And sometimes that's trials that he puts us through. That's changes that he puts us through. That's financial challenges he puts us through. That's health issues that he puts us through and challenges us with. That may be death of family and friends that he puts us through and he prunes us. But when he does that, look what it says. That it may bear more fruit. And it being the branch. And we are the branch. He prunes us so that we may bear more fruit. That's very hard to understand as we go through changes. God, why would you put me through this? Why do you do this to me? Getting saggy, and I needed to lift you up and prune some of that from you. And I still expect you to be fruitful and produce fruit and bear fruit. Be patient with God, because sometimes we want to get there and we want to produce fruit right away. Eric did a message years ago, and I don't remember what the plant was, but he talked about how many years that thing sits there doing nothing. And then all of a sudden, boom, there it is. Think about flowers and fruit trees and all the different things that they go through, the seasons they go through, and sometimes years before they mature. It's the same way with Christians. And I know some of us are going, Lord, when will they mature? It is time. But the Bible even talks about that in Hebrews and says, when I was younger. And it says, but now you have matured to a point that you should be doing this. And there's a point that says you should be bearing fruit by now. No matter how small, you should be producing fruit by now. Verse 4. You have to be connected with God. Verse 4 says, abide in me. That means dwell or hang out or live or spend time with me. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it is connected to me, connected to the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me and are connected to me. We've got to stop trying to produce our own fruit on our own. I am a strong, independent woman. I don't need anyone. And I've said this before, and I don't mean anything bad about women. I'm saying there are a lot of women that think I have to show that I am independent and I am strong. And I don't need anybody. I can do this on my own and I am successful. Well, that's good for you, but God still says, don't forget to lean on me. Because I am your strength. I am your source. Actually, I'm the vine. And you're just a branch. And so you can be strong and independent. That is fantastic. But don't forget to leave room for God to get in there and work and tell you what to do. I listened to a LeaderCast years ago, and there was this very successful businesswoman doing this national conference. And she said, and I got in there and I started telling God what to do. And if you knew who this woman was, and you'd know the name if I said it, but you'd think, yeah, I bet you did tell God what to do. And it took a while for God to put her in her place. And she said, but when he did, I understood. You see, I was so used to directing major corporations and businesses and helping people that I didn't have room and space for God. And I was trying to tell him what to do for me. And God finally says, here's what I'm going to do for you. And you're going to go through a period of a trial. Look around the church. Who's missing today? Who's missing? They cannot bear fruit alone. And sometimes they need a reminder or a friendly call. And I say that meaning we don't want to call and badger anyone. But a friendly reminder, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. We need you. And if you can do it in a nice way, saying you need us. These people that sit at home think, oh, well, it's just me and God right now. We just have our own little devotion time. It's possible for some. Unlikely for most. That means they may have passed the religious station, heard 3 seconds, and kept on going. Most people don't do that, but it says you need to be connected to the vine. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So, without God we can do what? Without God we can do what? Nothing. We can do nothing. Matter of fact, go ahead and underline that in your Bible if you would. Just put down, you can do nothing, or whatever version your Bible has. And we talked last week, if you weren't here, it is okay to write in your Bibles. It's okay to highlight, underline, make notes. But underline that, you can do nothing. Or you can even underline, without me, you can do nothing. And the me is capitalized to represent God. Without God, we can do nothing. you live in the fullness by glorifying God. In verse 8 it says that. It says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. But listen carefully. It says, so you will be my disciples. You glorify God when you bear fruit. And he says, and when you do this, you are my disciples. You are my disciples. So if we claim to be disciples, we must bear fruit, we must abide in Him, and we must abide in His Word. Write this down in your bulletin if you will. You don't have to turn there. But John chapter 8, verse 31 says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. That was John chapter 8, verse 31. If you abide in my word, if you spend time and dwell in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And this says, you are my disciples and glorify my Father when you bear much fruit. So we've got to bear fruit. We've got to abide in Him. We have to abide in His Word, so that we can live in the fullness. And maybe you're okay living in the partiality. I'm not. I want the fullness. Who wants the fullness? Raise your hand. I just have to get a visual, because some of you may say, I'm okay living in partiality. That's all right. Okay, but don't come crying when you're missing out on the blessings, because you're going to start comparing your fruit. And you're going to say, I've got bigger fruit than me. How come? Well, they're living in the fullness. They're spending time. They're abiding in Him. They're abiding in His Word. They're bearing fruit. They're connected to the vine. And by the way, they're allowing God to be the vine dresser, and they're not trying to take care of themselves. Staying connected to that vine is vital to living in the fullness. We're going to continue reading John chapter 15, verse 9 through 17. It says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you. We read that last week. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, listen carefully, church, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Verse 9 and 10 tells us right at the beginning of this. Abide in my love. So now we've abided in Him. We've abided in His Word. We're bearing fruit. And by the way, when it says I prune the branches, we had a fire a couple weekends ago, burnt some trash, and there were a whole bunch of those branches disconnected from the vine. And just like it said, they're dried up and they're thrown in the fire, and they go like that. And God wants us to be around, and He wants our work to stay around and to stick around and to be evident. But right here, abide in my love. If we are not abiding in His love and understanding His love for us, We miss it completely. If you keep my commandments, in verse 10, you will abide in my love. Just as I've kept my Father's commandment and I abide in His love. The example has been set here for us to follow, to sit and dwell in that love and to understand that love. And let me tell you, some of you that have been through some crazy stuff in your life, younger, recent, current, whatever it is, you need to hear this today. You have to learn how to spend time in His love and accept His love and understand His love for you. I'm going to make sure I look at every eyeball in this place, whether they're looking at me or not, because I want every one of you to get that. He loves you. We've talked before, I've talked before, about man's love. The love we have for one another, man, it comes and goes. It varies. It's temperamental. It's touchy. It's conditional. But this says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And we have to learn sometimes just to sit and be patient and listen. And then sometimes we do talking as well and we communicate with Him. He says in verse 11, these things I have spoken to you. Why? Why has He spoken these to you? That my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. As we mentioned last week, we have to allow God's joy to dwell in us, to be in us. This isn't a matter of being happy. This is talking about being filled with joy. Sometimes we push that out. We want everyone to know we're upset. Let them know you're upset, but let them know you're filled with the joy of the Spirit as well. That your joy may be full. John 16 says, your sorrow will be turned to joy. John chapter 16 says that your sorrow will be turned to joy. But it goes a step further and it says, no one will take that from you. If you do not have that joy of God inside of you, then you have taken that from yourself. Because this says no one will take that from you. Verse 16. Says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. The evidence of your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He will give you. These things I commanded you, that you love one another. So verse 16, go and bear fruit because you are chosen and you are appointed to do so. You live in the fullness when you are obedient and do as the Father has commanded you and appointed you to do. Now, I don't want a show of hands, but it worked. Some of you, your boss may say, hey, I need you to go do this. And you go do it. And others, the boss says, I need you to go do this. And you think, I'm not doing that. I don't get paid enough. Not my job. That's gross. I'm going to have someone else do that. Well, I can get Johnny to do that. I can get Julie to do that. I'm above that. I'm below that. But this says you were chosen and appointed. You cannot have someone else do this task for you. You cannot have someone else live in the fullness for you. You can't ride on their fullness tail. You just can't do that. Coattails. This is for you. But it feels sometimes we push that and try and say, no, God, not right now. I'm not an evangelist, God. I don't need to do this. you need someone that has a is ordained or something like that to do something like this, but not me. I'm just little old so-and-so. Surely that can't be for me to do. And then verse 12 and 17 here says, these things I command you, that you love one another. This is verse 17, and verse 12 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I want to close with this final key to living in the fullness. Turn, if you would, to Mark chapter 4, or chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. And this will be the final piece to our living in the fullness. And when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Living in the fullness comes from our obedience. It comes from finding joy, having joy, and having it to the fullness. It comes from loving one another as He loved us and has given us the example. Forgiving one another as He has forgiven us. Again, as an example. These are the keys to unlocking the door to living life in the fullness. Or you could say they are the barriers that keep us from living life in the fullness. We don't have joy. We don't have love for one another. We may not have, and we may struggle with, love for ourselves. When He says love one another, He's talking about loving yourself as well. That doesn't mean love what you're doing or where you are in life necessarily. That means loving who you are. You are a child of God. He chose you. He appointed you. But the barriers could be not finding joy, pushing joy out. Love. Not loving yourself. Not loving others. And then forgiveness. Not forgiving one another. And again, sometimes failing to forgive yourself. We didn't go there today, but 1 John is an amazing book that talks about loving one another. And it talks about what you are if you don't love one another. He who says he is in the light and hates his brothers in darkness. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. He says, enough talk. Let's see that in action. Whoever confesses Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. It says, he who loves God must love his brother also. My desire for the church, for myself as well, in this church again in particular, but for all Christians, is to live in the fullness that God has for us. And we do those through submission and through obedience. When we talked in the very beginning about even the, what did it say, even the demons believe. Even the demons believe. Their belief didn't allow them to transition and transform and change, though. Ours should. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, today we just ask you to come into our lives. God, our desire, my desire for our church is to live in the fullness. And to do that through submission and obedience to you. Acknowledging you as a vine dresser, acknowledging that we must be connected to the vine, but we are simply the branch, and allowing you to prune us as necessary, that we may bear fruit. God, today my desire is that we are able to change if we are looking for joy, if we are looking for love or forgiveness. As a matter of fact, if that's you today, I simply want you to stand. If you struggle in these areas, need help in these areas, want to grow in these areas, or just find this is a barrier right now for you, I just want you to stand where you are as we pray, that we may pray for you. Sometimes our pride and our boldness doesn't allow us to do that, and I get that and I understand that. Thank you. But man, God wants us to be transformed and changed. Would you just stand where you are today if that's you? If you struggle with forgiveness or unforgiveness, love issues, issues of finding joy in your life. Thank you, Lord, as they continue. Lord, we ask you just to move and motivate us to be different. Thank you. Thank you, God, for those that have stood. You may be seated now. For those that have stood, Lord, I ask you to reveal yourself to them and your plan to them. Lord, I ask that as a church body, we can also be bold and we can help others. God, that we can help others transition from a life of living in partiality. We think we've received just a little bit of the blessing and we are fine with that. But God, you want us to have the full blessing. God, help us as we go out this week. Would you just help us in the way we treat one another, those we know, those we don't know? God, help guide and direct our words, again, towards those we know and don't know. God, help us strengthen relationships. Help us rebuild relationships, restore relationships this week, that we may live in the fullness. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.